Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from Fanball.com, here's the host for Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchian.
I am Paul Charchian. My co-host today on Fantasy Football Weekly is Scott Fish. It's your first time in the off-season.
Yes, first off-season show.
Was it awesome having a month off?
It didn't feel like a month off, but it definitely was. It felt good.
Yeah. Don't have to prep for the show. And so I'm expecting you to bring a lot of excitement, a lot of energy. You know?
I'll do it.
All right.
Is that
good? Yeah. And it's a Super Bowl edition, the first of two. So
first of two Super Bowls?
Well, first of two Fantasy Football Weeklies for the Super Bowl.
Yes, yes.
And then we'll have to figure out all the things we're going to talk about in the offseason.
Oh, there's enough. There's enough.
I think when it's you and I, I mostly want to talk about gameplay variations because I think you and I are as excited by different ways to play as anybody in the industry.
Pretty much.
So I think that'll be a lot of the focus.
I would go as far
to
say as we are both pioneers in that field.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe, but there's lots of stuff though in the off season. February there's combine. March there's free agency starts. Yep. New league year. April there's the draft. We got tons of stuff.
I'll be at the combine. So. We'll have a report back from the combine.
That'd perfect.
Perfect. Sure. Niners take on. Did you hear Niners taking on the Chiefs in the Super Bowl?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I have not heard yet. This should be exciting. That's
did you
a
hear
good game.
Somebody made a 15-1 bet on the Niners last March?
Ooh, is that somebody sitting in the room with me?
Oh boy. That ticket's paying for my return trip to Las Vegas next week.
Are you
going to
sell the ticket on one of those places where you can sell your ticket and you're going
to
hedge it?
I don't have to anymore. I don't have. No, it was very important distinction. It was Niners to make the Super Bowl, not to win.
Oh, so now, you already cashed that thing.
So I haven't cashed it yet, but I'm flying to Vegas next week to cash it. I'm going to be there for the Super Bowl. Now, and it's going to pay for the trip, which is great. Somebody gave me great advice once. Never bet to win the Super Bowl. Always bet to make the Super Bowl. Here's why. The odds double. So in the case of my 49ers bet, it was 15-1 to make the Super Bowl, 30-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Here's why. I cash out my 15-1 to make it, right? Let's just say it was a $100 bet. So that'd be $1,500.
Sure.
If I still love the Niners, I can roll the whole 15 over, roll it into a Super Bowl bet and make my $3,000.
Yeah.
If I don't think the Niners are going to win, I just made my money and I don't have to have any more risk.
Sounds smart.
That's the way to
do
it.
I like it.
Yeah. Let's talk Niners and Chiefs. Let's break down the game a little bit. By the way, I think this is the best possible Super Bowl.
Yeah.
With all due respect to the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, which would have been great, but Patrick Mahomes is more ready to win a Super Bowl and more ready to make it a great game, I think, than Lamar Jackson was.
Yep. And two extremely good. Like you could almost say he's peaking right now. Patrick Mahomes, the last two games has looked just unreal. I believe over 300 in both.
296, I think, last week.
Okay, so averaging over 300 there between the two games. I'll go there then. Had the huge run last week. It just seems like he's peaking at the right time.
It really does. Just everything's come together for Patrick Mahomes. If we just talk about the clearest avenues to victory for these two teams, I mean, clearly for the Chiefs, it's you get ahead early, you take the running game away from the 49ers, which is very possible, right? And Patrick Mahomes can get ahead early.
They haven't the last two games, but they did take away Derrick Henry last week, and the 49ers are a substantially better defense than the last 2 weeks for the Chiefs.
Yeah, no kidding. Not close. And then you make Jimmy Garoppolo go win the game.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not saying he can't. Garoppolo could. That passing game could win.
What is he, 15-3 as a starter, something like that?
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's ridiculous.
And people don't realize this, and I'm going to steal this stat from Mike Clay. Jimmy Garoppolo averaged 29 pass attempts per game during the season. It's not like he can't throw.
Pass,
he just didn't need to last week. And he threw a lot in the early goings of the season to win games.
He did. Now for the Niners, it's kind of the opposite. Their easy path to victory is just keep running the ball to keep Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines and keep your defense fresh and run your way to victory just like they did the last 2 weeks. Both are very plausible.
Yep. Coleman, we still don't know. They expect him to play, but it even if they don't, that's exactly where I was going. Even if they don't, Shanahan schemes so well that it'll be, you know, a little extra Breda or a little like some use check plays or whatever. Like he'll figure it out.
Yeah. I do think one of the fascinating elements, because the Niners have had these early leads and haven't had to pass, there's huge portions of the playbook that they haven't had to use for the whole playoffs.
On the flip side, the Chiefs haven't seen it recently to prep for it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, a lot of truth to that. And so I think there's a, you know, I think there's a sneaky advantage for the Niners in that they've just been able to coast their way and just run, you know, run the ball to these victories.
They had an easy, easy path. There's no question.
Yeah.
No offense to
Vikings
our
and
Vikings.
Packers, but no, I agree. This is it. And honestly, Chiefs path wasn't all that hard either. No, they have to get through Baltimore.
That's true.
So, yeah. All right. Anyway, let's start here from a fantasy standpoint as we break down these games, Scott. Niners running game. Let's talk about them and the Chiefs run defense. Niners enter with historic playoff performances. Through the two games, they're averaging 41 rushing attempts.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this is just the running backs. I'm not even including any quarterback runs. 41 rushing attempts, 236 rushing yards.
Jeez.
And 5.8 yards per carry.
I was just going to say that's nearly 6 yards per carry in my mental math. That's insane.
It's insane.
But that's what Mostert was doing like all year too, which is the crazy thing. It's insane. And it's, you think it's not sustainable, but he sustained it like all year.
I know. The funny thing is he's higher than the 5.8 yards per carry.
Yeah.
So here's Raheem Mostert's average game since week 13 when he became the lead back for the 49ers. And we talked a lot during this show, during the playoffs and how the fantasy playoffs and how he was crushing these fantasy playoff leagues. His average game since week 13, 6.3 yards per carry for Raheem Mostert, 15 carries, 104 yards, and 1.5 touchdowns per game.
Per game, numbers. That's pretty ridiculous.
It is pretty ridiculous.
That 1.5 touchdowns is buoyed by last week a little bit.
It is. But, you know, also there was against the Vikings, it was mostly Tevin Coleman. And so, you know, which I think is less of an indictment on Raheem Morris and more that the Niners never felt like the Vikings were a threat. And so they were like, let's give the fresh legs of Tevin Coleman a long run in this game.
Yeah, I can easily see that. And maybe they should have given him less of a run based on the next week. But
now the Chiefs obviously halted Derrick Henry last week. Mm-hmm. 19 carries for 69 yards and 3.6 yards per carry. That's it.
Yep.
So the Chiefs really can play run defense. And not only that, but this was a Chiefs run defense that was a liability for September, October, November.
Mm-hmm.
But really from December forward, here's what the Chiefs are giving up per game on the ground. 3.8 yards per carry.
Seems good.
0.7 rushing touchdowns per game. That's it.
Yeah.
So they've been able to really turn around their run defense.
Yeah, well, and that's really what the 49ers' bread and butter is right now, which just makes up for a great matchup because the 49ers' pass defense has been top six all year in several categories.
Yeah. So I think from a fantasy standpoint here, Raheem Mostert to me feels, if we're doing our letter grades, he's a B grade for me because the Chiefs' run defense has improved enough that I can't count on him. I don't think Tevin Coleman, even if he's active for this game, I don't trust him to have a major role in this game. I would put a bench grade on him, and if Coleman is out, I'd put a C grade on Matt Breida. How does that feel to you?
That feels about right. So I'm getting the vibe from you. You think that this is an under game. This is not going to hit the over.
Get this. I just read this today.
Mm-hmm.
95% of the money is on the over.
Really?
It's moved from 52 to 54.
Yeah.
Vegas builds casinos on sports better losses.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to be on the casino side, I go under.
Yeah.
Now the Super Bowls have gone over. Somebody emailed me this today. Well, I was on the air on KFAN. Super Bowls have gone over 13 of the last 15 Super Bowls.
Yeah. That feels right. It feels like a lot of high scoring ones. Do you get kind of do you remember when the Seahawks took on Peyton Manning's Broncos, was it? and the Broncos just offense, 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 and Seahawks great defense. Do you get that kind of vibe
Super Bowl,
from this?
It was it was Broncos and Cam Newton and the Panthers.
Oh, Panthers. Yeah. Do you get that kind of vibe from it? The super offense and really good defense,
and maybe they neutralize or defense wins. Scott, for the first time in my adult life, I don't know who's going to win this game. I really don't. It's a 1-point spread. You know, I don't know. I'm paid to have opinions on this stuff. I don't know.
No.
You know, right now, 8 days, 9 days in front of the game,
thinking,
I don't know who's going to win.
I am thinking of the Manning-Seahawks 2014 Super Bowl. The one where the Seahawks had the best defense in the league, the Legion of Boom.
Oh, okay.
And they got a safety on the first play.
That's right.
That's why I'm wondering, man, the 49ers, it's kind of attractive to think about if the defense wins that battle.
Well, and actually, there's two good defenses on the field. And there's one great offense and one good offense. Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's talk about the Niners passing game. Is Jimmy Garoppolo ready for this moment? Do you think this moment, or, well,
you he's know, got two Super Bowl rings.
He does. I've got that in my notes. He's got two Super Bowl rings. Yeah, it's not like he's never been a part of the lead up to the Super Bowl is not trivial.
Yeah.
We had John Sullivan on the radio with me today.
Sure.
And he was the Rams center last year.
The now 240-pound John Sullivan.
You heard that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the chaos that leads up to the Super Bowl is a massive distraction, and it's unlike anything you've done in any week prior to that. So the fact that Garoppolo can come in with the experience of having been through all of that, although not as a spotlight player,
right,
but still having gone through it, I think there is some value to that.
And he's always had this cool, calm, collected vibe. Like even when he took over the starting job in San Francisco, they would have those like Mike Dove vids of him just being cool and calm, collected, no matter what the situation, down in late in the fourth, just, it doesn't matter to him.
I think you're right about that. And, I don't worry about the moment being too big for him.
Nope. I'm not worried for that.
And not Mahomes at all.
No.
Even though it's, you know, he's younger and he has less playoff experience.
Right.
But
I think he's excited for it.
I'm sure he is, but he's just always been up for every single big moment throughout his career.
Yep.
So I'm not worried about Mahomes.
Nope.
All right. So back to the Niners passing game here. Garoppolo has barely passed in the two playoff wins. As you know,
right.
We talked about all the running.
Yep.
The Niners have run the ball 81 times. He's thrown 27 passes against 81
in two games, less than his season average in two games combined.
Isn't that nuts?
That's nuts.
Niners, well, as I mentioned, they've kept a lot of their playbook under wraps, which I think does give Garoppolo a bit of an intangible advantage. Mm-hmm. His average passing game since week 8, so basically second half of the season, has been 238 yards, which is very low. One, almost two touchdowns.
Which is great. The Vegas over-under on him is like 239.
I know how funny how that works. Yeah. It's not a coincidence, I'm sure. Almost two touchdowns, half an interception, a really high completion percentage of 68%, which is great, and a passer rating of 103. I mean, those are pretty good numbers, but they're not massive fantasy numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always had that where his touchdown is, but even his touchdown to interception ratio is not that great over his career. He's not the fantasy stalwart we kind of hoped he would be. Mm-hmm. That's Patrick Mahomes.
That's Patrick Mahomes, right? Exactly. The Chiefs allowed the fewest yards to wide receivers this year, which is a stunning turnaround from the year before.
Yeah, I remember that as we were leading up late into the season, that they were like middle of the pack for a while, and then it just was like they were one of the best and not allowing very many touchdowns at all.
And fifth fewest touchdowns to wide receivers and the fewest yards to wide receivers.
Yeah.
So
it's a good thing they're playing a team that does, you know, has middling wide receivers. How are they on tight ends, Charge?
Well, we'll get to that in a second. Debo Samuel runs 68% of his routes from the left or the slot, which puts him against Breshad Perriman and Kendall Fuller, respectively. Both have been pretty good. Mm-hmm. Breland's been terrific in the playoffs. He's allowed two completions on seven passes into his coverage. Fuller's allowed one touchdown in his last 11 games. So Debo Samuel has been a nice spark plug for them.
Yep.
This might not be the game.
Tough SOB, too. Who's going to get it for the passing game on the 49ers, then?
Well, if we it's know not Samuel,
it's got to be Kittle.
It's going to be Kittle. Emmanuel Sanders will run from the slot, but he's also used more often than that on the outside, and he's on the right side. He'll see a lot of Charvarius West, who's the best Chiefs cornerback. He's been actually pretty great. He's allowed 2 scores all year and 1 since week 4.
Wow.
That's it.
It's very little for all of those. That's what it takes to be the number one pass defense against wide receivers,
yeah.
Right?
And not giving up a lot of touchdowns helps a lot. So then let's get to Kittle, who's, I think, about to be unleashed in this game.
He has to be. If they want to win this game, he has to be.
Sparingly used as a receiver. He's used a lot as a blocker in the playoffs so far. Against Minnesota, Kittle was just 3 catches, 16 yards. Against Green Bay, 1 catch,
one for 19
yards.
Yeah.
Killed the DFS players. Killed them. He gets targeted on a whopping 26% of his routes run, which is great. So when he does run routes, there's a huge high percentage that he's going to get the ball. Kansas City ranks. Here's Kansas City's ranks against tight ends. Yards allowed, 26th. Sorry, 29th. It's worse.
I was going to say, 29th. I thought it was third or fourth worst.
Receptions allowed to tight ends, 31st by the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Here comes George freaking Kittle.
Yep.
I think for all those passes he didn't get the last 2 weeks, they're coming, baby.
Yep. And I I unfortunately agree with the public money on the over. Well, at least when it was 52.5. I guess it's at 54 now. So
yeah.
But I feel a lot of shootout in this battle.
I wonder what Kittle's. If you've got your computer in front of you, look up Kittle's number.
It's 70, I think. 70
yards.
70.5. 5.5 receptions is his, and then 70.5 yards.
So he's at 16 yards and 19 yards, and they've set the line at 70.
Yeah, and he had top 70 in 3 straight prior to those 2 games.
Yeah, which doesn't surprise me. Now, Kittle draws a fascinating matchup with Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, Matthew's been awesome.
He's been awesome for years.
Yep, but Kelsey's got 4 inches and 50 pounds on him. Matthew's super physical.
Yep.
Isn't afraid to get his jersey dirty. He had 82 tackles this year.
Yeah.
Matthew did.
Matthew's been awesome.
Yeah, and a fantastic pass defender. He hasn't allowed a touchdown in 14 games.
He's a prepper, too. Does so much prep work. That's why he's so good.
I think that's a big part of it. Yeah. They've got to know he's coming. The passer rating against Matthew, 68%, or 68. 68 is the passer rating. It's unbelievable.
It's pretty low.
It's very low. Kittle's an elite blocking tight end, but that we're not going to get fantasy points for that. I still think at the end of the day, I think the volume is coming. They just have to get to Kittle.
They can't depend on Kendrick Bourne and guys like that.
No, they can't.
No.
I think that at some point in this game, unlike the last 2 games, they're going to have to complete some passes to Kittle, I think. They're just not going to. I just don't think the Niners.
They're not going to keep Andy Reid's offense to like 19 points.
Right.
This is an offense that averaged 29 a game or something like that. 28, 29 a game.
And if you think that they're going to throw to Kittle 7 times, 8 times, know this, he catches 80% of the balls thrown his way. 80.
Yep.
So if you think he's going to get 7 catches, if it's 7 targets, there's 6 catches. You think he's going to get 10 targets, there's 8 catches.
Yep. I think we're on the same page. Kittle's in for a big game here. I don't know how much I can trust the other receivers.
Give me a letter grade on Kittle.
I'd give him an A.
All right. How about the receivers?
Benchable? I mean, Sanders maybe a C, but I'd probably bench them all.
Even Deebo Samuel. I know I don't love the matchups, but Samuel's been awfully good.
Yeah, but he has also been hit and miss at times. Deebo Samuel's over-under is 54.5, which feels fair given the last couple weeks. He's caught some balls and he's been very aggressive in pushing downfield when he gets them. Not deep speed downfield. I'm talking about, you know, catching the ball and then turning upfield with him and fighting tackles.
Makes sense. All right. So that is the San Francisco side. When we come back, we'll break down the Chiefs side of the ball. This is the more fascinating offense side and the more fascinating fantasy side.
Definitely.
We'll be back in moments with more Fantasy Football Weekly. All right, we're back. Paul Charchian, Scott Fish, breaking down the Super Bowl fantasy style. You know, next week, and I'm not sure who's with me next week, maybe it's you.
I think it might be Matt. Might be Matt next week or something.
Yeah, we'll go back and touch on anything that we think has changed from this. And then I think we will talk some props.
We just talked about Mostert. We don't know about maybe Coleman's. We know more at that time.
When Coleman's on the cart last week, yeah. I wasn't feeling real good about him. I know. Playing.
Mostert's over under is 79.5 total yards right now. It's a pretty good line because it makes you think.
Pretty good line. It really does make me think.
That's total yards.
I'm nervous. So, I'm nervous about that. Okay. Let's go to the Chiefs side. Let's start with the rushing attack, which is less interesting. We'll save the best for last. Patrick Mahomes. Damian Williams has gotten 29 of 30 running back handoffs.
Yep. When he's the lead back, he's the lead back.
He really is. And that's when he's healthy, basically.
Yep.
But get this. He's running. These are the in the playoffs. He's run for 3.2 yards per carry.
That's not great, Bob.
That isn't good. Mm-mm. Now, Tennessee's a good run defense. So, and looking at those runs, he didn't leave really many, if any, yards on the table. He was maximizing what he could against Tennessee, which in the it just wasn't there. Houston's not a great run defense. I expected more. Now, he was very good through the air against those against both teams as a as an important part of the passing game. Get this. Niners are so good against receiving running backs. Hang on. Here's my numbers on this.
So Williams through the air, his over-under, the Vegas over-under, is 3.5 receptions, which seems really high, and 30.5 yards.
Through the air for Damian Williams?
Yeah, in receiving for Damian Williams.
Well, here's Damian your Williams. Stats. Here's your relevant stats for you. This is in the regular season. I just didn't have time to add in the playoffs.
Sure.
In the regular season, San Francisco allowed the third fewest running back receptions, the second fewest running back yards, and zero touchdowns through the air to running backs.
Okay. So it's not a great matchup for his
Damian Williams, to me, is a C-grade runner here. San Francisco ranked eighth in rushing yards allowed in the regular season, third in rushing touchdowns allowed. They limited Aaron Jones to 56 rushing yards, and they held Dalvin Cook to 18.
I think you should be putting Williams in the same boat as Mostert in this game, with probably a C-grade, you know, 70 to 80 yards. Maybe hope they get a
score. Mostert's rolling into this game at 6.5 yards per carry, and I got half of that from Damian Williams so far.
Mostert a soft B.
I think Mostert's a B and Williams is a C.
They have almost exactly the same over-under as far as total yards.
Let's go to the passing attack for the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, as you alluded to at the beginning of the show, absolutely electric in these two games.
Yep.
As a quick aside, he's the most talented quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Based on what we've seen so far.
Yep. Yep, I've heard this argument recently about some people are like, you know, I thought Rodgers was the most just talent, you know, not, you know, whatever measure you want, but just talent-wise, arm talent-wise, a lot of people are on Rodgers, and I think people are starting to flip to Mahomes, and I think I'm there too.
You know, there's nothing Mahomes doesn't do at an extraordinary level.
Right.
If it's reading defenses, if it's arm strength, if it's catchable pass, if it's mobility. He's not Lamar Jackson, but he's super mobile. If it's throwing on the run, if it's improvisation, you know, the crazy, how did he do that? You know, everything, it's all there.
Yep.
There's nothing he is not an 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, or 10 out of 10 at.
It's one of those where there's just no clear weakness.
No weakness in his game.
Yeah.
All right, so that's
you know what his over under on touchdown passes in this game is?
No, so let me guess.
2.5.
Okay, yeah.
So so they're expecting at least two or three touchdowns from him.
I don't know if I could place that bet either way. The let's talk Mahomes. He's thrown for 8 touchdowns in the playoff. 8.
Yeah.
The game against Houston was just
and no interceptions, bonkers. Right? I can't think of an interception.
Don't believe he has any interceptions. Yeah. Niners were the number one pass defense this season. Yep. So let's get to the other side of the story here.
Yeah.
Number one pass defense this season, allowing a league low 190 passing yards per game, and better than that. If you take out the month of December when the Niners were racked with injuries, they were missing 4 and 5 defensive starters. We just take that month aside. Here's the average.
Quan was out for a while.
Jaquiski Tart was out.
Yep.
If you take out the month of December, here's the average game the Niners gave up to opposing quarterbacks. 161 passing yards.
That's nothing.
0.8 passing touchdowns.
Yeah.
So they could give up double their average game to Patrick Mahomes. That would be a 320-yard game and 1.5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that's a bad game by Pat. They're going to win. They'll win if that's all they give up to Patrick Mahomes is double what they give up to most quarterbacks.
Now it's starting to feel more and more like that defense vibe, that the defense is going to take it home.
Mm-hmm. Feeling like the under as well. Mm-hmm. The two playoff games so far, the quarterbacks they've faced for the Niners, Kirk Cousins obviously had a bad game, 172 yards, 1 touchdown, 6 sacks absorbed. Aaron Rodgers had the one long bomb to Devontae Adams, which skews the numbers a little bit, but that got him up to 326 passing yards and 2 touchdowns, 3 sacks.
Playing
but
from behind garbage time.
Yeah, a lot of it was garbage time, way, way behind, and the long bomb to Adams. He wasn't, you know, that's when the box score lies.
Yes.
Let's talk about the wide receivers.
Let's do that.
Tyreek Hill runs 75% of his routes naturally away from Richard Sherman's side of the field. They don't have to change his. They don't have to change. Andy Reid doesn't have to change what they ask Tyreek Hill to do at all to just naturally have him avoid Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
It's a big advantage.
Yeah. Hill's going to get his in this game. I'm not worried about Hill. I'm more worried about the other receivers. I think a lot of people, especially if you're playing DFS or whatever, are going to possibly chase Watkins when they shouldn't.
Well, see, this puts Watkins, and Watkins runs a lot from the slot too, but he runs slot and right. He'll run slot and left mostly.
Yeah.
Watkins versus Sherman, dead.
Yep. No thanks.
No way. I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to remember that Devontae Adams bomb that went right over Sherman. That's such an outlier. Sherman's been awesome this year.
I don't know. Adams and Watkins are such on the same level that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. All right. Let's. And I don't think Robinson's been a disaster. A bunch of drops in the playoffs and blech. And Mecole Hardman, they don't use him enough.
I heard somewhere recently that, and I should have double checked this, that Robinson hasn't had more than 3 targets like all year, or like that's
in a game
all year or something. Since
Hill came back, maybe? Or?
Maybe. Okay. I thought it was since that big, huge week two had.
Watkins had the big week one.
It might be 3 catches.
Remember all the poor fantasy owners.
Yeah.
Watkins has the giant week one, then does nothing all year. Then Robinson, Hill goes down in week one. Robinson gets all this love in week two, and all this fab money comes in on Robinson in week two. Then he did nothing for the rest of the year. And you can't even blame fantasy owners who are following those things, because who doesn't want part of a passing attack, of a Chiefs passing attack, that doesn't go through Tyreek Hill anymore?
We talked about it so many weeks. Yeah, he only topped 3 catches once since week two. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it so many weeks. We're like, should we pick up Mecole Hardman? Should we pick up? Yeah. And we could never pinpoint which was the right one.
Nobody could. Let's talk Travis Kelce, who can be a big difference in this game. The Niners have been oddly susceptible to tight ends. I'm giving you just some names of guys that have punished the Niners since week 10. Tyler Higbee, Jared Cook, Mark Andrews, Jacob Hollister, all second half of the season, you know, relatively recent tight ends that posted meaningful fantasy games against them.
I think the 49ers allowed 6 or 7 touchdowns to tight ends on the season as
Sounds right. Last week, Jimmy Graham had a solid game. Jimmy Graham's not that good, but he rolled up 4 catches for 59 yards.
I'll take that.
I'll take that, too. And by the way, I think it was 4 targets, 4 catches. Kelce, he destroyed Houston 2 weeks ago, then was quiet last week. He had a 10-catch game against Houston 2 games ago.
It's almost like fantasy championships. Usually someone has Kittle or Kelce.
Yeah, funny how that works a lot of ways. And here we are talking about him. All right, let's do some letter grades on members of the passing game. Tell me, start here with Patrick Mahomes. What's the letter grade you'd give him, Scott?
I am still going with an A. I've seen Mahomes throw up 300 yards on some of the best defenses in the NFL over the last 2 years, so I'm still not scared of it. The Vegas over-under is 305, 2.5. 305 yards and 2.5 touchdowns. I think that's a fair line. I'm with Vegas there, and I think that's a decent fantasy day. So I'm giving him an A.
Okay. Let's go to Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, I'm still giving him an A. Vegas over under on him is 79.5. I think that he's the kind of guy that could break the game open.
For sure.
He's the kind of guy that, and you already said he's away from Sherman, but he's the kind of guy that it's just going to take one play, and I think he's very likely to get it. And I weirdly trust Andy Reid to be a little creative in this game. Well, I mean, it's not weird, but I expect something creative, and that would probably mean Tyreek Hill.
All right. And any other of the wide receivers for the Chiefs even get anything other than a bench grade for you?
Nope.
Me either. Nope. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're all out. You know, if I were in Vegas and I'm looking for a shock prop, you know, Mecole Hardman is tempting on something like first score of the game, or you could probably get, mm-hmm. you know, 50-1. Just because he's another guy like Tyreek Hill that can be just the game changing ability.
Yes.
He can turn a 10-yard game. He can turn a 10-yard pass into a 70-yard touchdown.
Yeah, that's basically what he is. He's like, you can get an 80-yard touchdown on him or 70-yard touchdown, or you can get zero
catches, zero. Literally zero. Yes.
Yeah. I wonder, I know his line is 24.5 yards, but I wonder what some of those other lines for him, like scoring a touchdown or first score of the game.
First score of the game. Yep.
Yeah. Those could be some pretty lucrative ones.
The best first score of the game I've ever hit. And I wonder what it looks like here in this game, mm-hmm. was Aaron Rodgers in, I think it was about 10 years ago, AFC Championship. I think it was the year they won the Super Bowl. And I picked him to be first score of the game and hit that one in Vegas at an FSTA conference. And
could have been a couple. Could have been the Giants one in 07 or 0.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But quarterback, the Vegas always materially underappreciates rushing quarterbacks and quarterback rushing opportunities. And,
right.
It's not like, you know, all you need is a goal to go from the one.
Right.
And here comes your quarterback rushing touchdown. So Garoppolo and even better Mahomes. I'd love to see.
I was going to say, how many Garoppolo rushing touchdowns are there in
his
career?
Not a lot. Probably,
can't be many.
Probably just a couple. Okay. So then last letter grade I'm looking for you from you is on Travis Kelce.
It's an A.
It's an A.
Yeah. It's an A. It's a weird thing to say with the Chiefs. That it's like three A's and then maybe a C for the running back and just nothing else.
Yeah, that's I think.
But you still expect them to somehow put up 35 points. You just can't trust, or you know what, 29 points their average.
No,
you really just can't trust those other options, even though one of them is bound to do something.
No, I think you're right. I said earlier at this stage, 9 days out, I don't know who's going to win. Do you have a lean or even a strong opinion on who will win this game?
Nope, not at all. I have gone back and forth so many times, it's ridiculous. And people probably listening to this can tell I feel that way. Like, I feel like Andy Reid's offense is going to figure something out. And I love, you know, if it's a battle, an offensive shootout, I like the Chiefs. But that defense is so good that I can see it going either way. The 49ers defense is so good.
It is. It's really,
I'm excited really for this game more than I have been in recent years for Super Bowls.
Like we said at the outset, this is the best possible Super Bowl matchup. This is the best NFC team. That's the most interesting NFC team with the most different ways to win. And this is the most ready to win AFC team. The right teams got to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't always happen. Didn't happen last year, for that matter. It's, you know, you don't have to go back far.
Two career rushing touchdowns for Jimmy
I hit
Garoppolo.
It. Yes, I hit it. and you know, from the 1 yard line, they'll still probably use their running backs because they do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Garoppolo would be really a shot in the dark. But I bet Mahomes is. If you see if you can Google this quickly, first player to score prop. I bet Mahomes is 15-1 on first player to score.
First player to score. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
We'll see how quickly you can Google that.
Well, I already got the touchdown props up. Let's see. Last touchdown score. Who cares about last touchdown score? That's weird.
That is weird.
All right. I got it up, but it's taking longer to find than I thought.
Well, it might not have been a reasonable request on demand. I just think there's an angle here.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah,
I'm
not finding it.
Okay. All right. Well, it's not a big deal. Maybe one of our listeners will tell us via Twitter. They can find you at ScottFish 24. At ScottFish 24. I am at Paul Charchi, and you can tweet us and let us know what is the Patrick Mahomes odds to be first player to score. I don't know if they break that down by team or they just say in the game. First player to score in the game is, you know, and it could be players from either team, or if it's first chief to score will be Patrick Mahomes.
And I found it. So.
Okay. All right. What is it?
Plus 2,000.
Plus 2,000. All right. 20 to 1. 20 to 1 on Patrick Mahomes to be the first one to score?
Mostert, yeah, plus 500. Daniel Williams, plus 600.
Do I like that bet? Oh, I like that bet.
He's 3 rushing touchdowns in his last 7 games.
How about that? 20 to 1. That's my new favorite bet of the Super Bowl right there. Patrick Mahomes.
And after this podcast, it'll be like 10 to 1. Yeah, right. 12 to 1.
Watch it move. Scott, great job today. Thanks. I hope everybody has fun at the Super Bowl. We'll be back one more time before the Super Bowl. We'll recap some of this stuff, talk more of the player props that we like next week as well. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.